This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Necessity is the mother of invention, and this was certainly the case when it came to the creation of Strike TV. The web-based channel was developed during the long writer's strike that started in 2007. It is the brainchild of writer Peter Higuchi, who joins me now. Welcome to News and Notes.
Thanks, Tony.
How did Strike TV come about exactly?
Well, it did come out of the strike, the writer's strike of last year, but more appropriately, it came out of technology and something that really changed everything last year, which was HD technology dropping in price from $50,000 to $100,000 to about $2,000, $3,000.
But somebody must have sat around a table or a couch or someplace and said, you know, this is what we should do. Is that you?
Yeah. Well, I was striking in front of Disney, and I came up with this idea of why don't we just do it? And so we did. Let's just make a website for the Writers Guild, and let's just create shows that we want to, and let's just make it.
Were these show ideas that were stockpiled either in your mind, or you had put together as treatments, and you just hadn't pursued, you know, pushing them towards the networks, and you said, here's an outlet for these ideas, and let's do it there?
Well, I mean, some of them are ideas that have been around for a while, and some of them are brand new ideas. We have 100 series. We have over 700 individual webisodes, and they were all created, you know, just recently.
How do you come up with the rules, Peter, for what should go? You know, on television, mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you, there are rules about format. There's rules about content. There's rules about advertiser support, all sorts of things. How do you determine what rules, if any, there should be for Strike TV?
We don't have any rules other than no pornography, whatever that means, and no, you know, ultra-violence, whatever that means.
How do they make any money? How do you guys make money this
way?
Well,
there's a number of ways. I mean, we do something called hyper-syndication, which means that Strike TV content is distributed all over the Internet on many different platforms, including Hulu. So there's a Hulu channel on Strike TV channel on Hulu. There's also a Strike TV channel on YouTube and many other websites. It's available on mobile phones and all kinds of things. So each one of these outlets has an ad sales team. They put an advertisement against it. It's called a CPM, cost per thousand. Just like when you watch on Hulu, there's a little ad before. Well, Strike TV has the same thing. It's a little ad. It's like a 15-second ad. Sit through it, and it pays for the bills. It basically, and we do a rev share split on all of these different platforms. So every place that Strike TV content is all over the net, we're splitting revenue with the filmmakers and with that distributor.
One of the things about Strike TV that is of interest, I think, to our listeners is this, that it appears that it would be an opportunity for artists of color, black writers and others, to get in the mix in a way that traditional Hollywood does not seem as welcoming.
Absolutely. And that's what's really exciting for me, not just black writers, but Asian writers and Hispanic writers, disabled writers. Each of these groups in the Writers Guild has a caucus where they are, you know, get together and try to figure out how to, you know, empower themselves. And, you know, Strike TV's doors are open for these people. I mean, for all people.
Is network television, cable television, willing to, maybe willing is the wrong word, to abide by Strike TV being in there with them? Are you an issue for them at all? Are they supportive of you? Do they see you as a I don't know, farm system for getting new shows onto the network ultimately?
Ultimately, we're an ally for them. They're not willing to spend a lot of money taking huge risks these days. Both movies and in television. Everything's based on a book or something that we've seen before. And so this allows, Strike TV basically allows them to see what hits. You know, we have a show that really takes off. They can pluck it up without ever having to spend millions of dollars in development costs. And there's a built-in audience there. So they see us as an ally, and we see them as an ally. You know, we are able to test something. Maybe there's something that's really weird that they'd never greenlight, but the audience is waiting for it, and they would love to see it, you know. And you know, for a very little cost, we're able to go out there. And the other thing is that Strike TV is not editing anything. It doesn't tell them what to do. They own their copyright. This is the first time ever, 100 years, that all of these writers have been able to maintain their copyright and creative control. It's never happened.
A win-win.
It is a win-win.
That was Peter Higuchi. He is the founder and CEO of Strike TV, a web-based TV network. He joined me at our NPR West studios. So what's it like for the actors, writers, and other executives who work on Strike TV? I spoke with their vice president of brand and ad sales, Terrence Coles, along with writer Rod Email, but started by asking actress Ellen Sandweiss, who stars in Dangerous Women on the network, about the types of shows that are available on Strike TV.
The great thing about Strike TV is the variety, and we're actually striving for more of that. I'm on the new submissions committee as well, so we're reviewing new shows. There's everything from comedy, animation, sci-fi, drama.
There's a talk show.
Talk show.
There's kids programming.
Sketch comedy.
We did a live webcast event this past Saturday with a person, Jeffrey Berman, from The Right Environment, where he interviewed writers. So we interviewed Robert Hewitt Wolf from Andromeda and other fame. And
you know, the beauty of it also is that the range is just huge. The range of actors, the range of but the one thing is that it's all professionals. And again, like Terrence said, it differentiates it from a YouTube or just somebody with a camera putting something up. My project in particular came about, it's called Dangerous Women. And it came about because I was in a cult film called The Evil Dead in the 80s, and the three of us actresses have gotten together. And the writer of our show, David O'Malley, had wanted to write a film about us, but when he heard about the writer's strike, he decided to turn it into a web series. So this was the perfect vehicle.
That was going to be my next question, actually, and I want to direct it to you, Terrence. And to be blunt about it, is this material any good?
You know, what drew me to Strike, and one thing I should preface this by, currently, all the executives, everybody working for Strike, is not being compensated. We're currently looking to raise money. We are really running this company based on passion, based on what we believe in. So to answer your question, I walked in, I saw 40 to 50 different shows with multiple episodes that were all quality, shot well, written by people with sensitivities like Rod or people like Ellen and other folks who we know that are major writers. So Stephen D'Souza, who wrote 48 Hours and Tomb Raider, he's on Strike TV with Unknown Sender. Lester Lewis is on the board of Strike TV and writes currently for The Office for NBC. So we are around the talent that makes everything you see in traditional television, but we're all sort of banding together in order to open up creativity based on the distribution that is now available and the production that's now available, sort of leapfrogging the traditional system, to be honest with you, using digital distribution in the online environment.
That's really interesting. I want to ask you, Rod, as a creator of a show, I would imagine that you would want to maybe pursue a dual track with a new program. In other words, if you can get it into Strike TV, great. But at the same time, if you can get one of the networks to buy it, that would be even greater because of the money.
That would. But going through Strike TV makes it good because the creative handcuffs are off and you have created the show that you wanted to create. And if a network wants your show, that's because people are coming to it. People are watching that show. And the worst thing you want to do is change that show that you see on the internet than when it gets to network.
I would think that given the climate in network television fare right now, mm-hmm. that a show called Black Guys Talking wouldn't have much of a chance.
Not really. It wouldn't have.
It wouldn't, would it?
It wouldn't have a snowball's chance in.
Yeah, right, in that place. So what is this show about? Well, I guess it's about Black guys talking.
That's basically what it is. It came from it.
Kind of like what we're doing right now.
Black guys talking.
This is an episode.
Yeah. Black guys and a white woman talking.
Yeah.
How's that?
I mean, you know, initially it came out when I was on the show, I always, you know, I'm usually, no pun intended, kind of was the minority in the room. So, you know, I always noticed that a lot of sitcoms with black people always had these amazing jump off points, you know, like the children were orphaned tragically, or, you know, the young man from Philadelphia had to run across the country away because of some bully, you know. But I always saw white shows, and it was just white guys talking. And I know that I'm a black guy, and I know other black guys, and we're just always black guys talking. I think we're pretty funny too, and it just
your eyes are not getting big or anything during the bubble eye stuff.
That's just it. It's like I talk about normal things, you know. I don't, you know, the whole chicken and wine and the other stereotypes. No, I mean, I like Karen Carpenter. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't make me a bad guy. You know, I like Karen Carpenter.
Yeah, you have to give up your hip-hop card if you like Karen Carpenter, I'm afraid. Let me come back to you, Terrence, to ask you about the making of the money. Clearly, you started this as a way to create a creative outlet.
Yes.
But I'm assuming that at the end of the pipeline, you were hoping that this could turn into a profitable venture.
Absolutely.
So where are you now with regard to that? Because part of your title says that you are the ad executives as well. So you have ads?
Yes. So we run ads. We're currently doing a campaign with Zappos.com. So if you go on Strike TV, you'll see a pre-roll ad from Zappos.com. That's a campaign we're currently running. We sell integrations within the shows. So my real job is working with all of the content creators to find ways to weave a brand into some of these shows such that the brand goes wherever the content goes. And then at Strike, our job is to distribute things as far and wide as possible, cutting deals where we get a piece of the revenue everywhere we distribute. And of course, on our own network, we get all of the ad revenue and we share better. We get the best deal in Hollywood in terms of what we do of our content creators. They get the majority revenue share. So, and there's not a network in town that would do that.
So I see Ellen's hand went up. So do you get any money that's really, you know, money? Are we talking about?
Not yet, because this is still such a new venture. You know, everybody has spent so much of their own money making this network work, right from the creators. Everybody who worked on my show was volunteer, as is everybody who works for the Strike TV network. So yes, we're just building all that up, but it's really growing.
Yeah, I think what's unique is we are building the model, but rather than putting – so I've worked and raised money. I worked at a company called Entertainer, the first video on demand network, 1998 to 2002. I was SVP of programming there. I paid a lot for content. Today, my content comes from creators who have paid for the content, and we all now work cooperatively to build a business model that will then support us and the content provider moving forward, and that's where we are. We're currently raising money for Strike based on building the business model of us cooperating with our content providers and building out the distribution network in order to facilitate that.
Let's talk about the programming again for a moment. The show that I saw, I think it was called Lawyers, the episode that I saw, I should say, was it looked to be maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes long. The content that you have, the range in time goes from a few minutes to feature length?
Currently, the longest thing we have is probably about 11 to 14 minutes, so we are definitely short form. But I think to the point you were asking, Rod, what we see as Strike is we would love nothing more than for a network to pick up one of our shows. We see ourselves as the ability to change the pilot system. They're making less pilots in Hollywood today. We're taking all of this creative energy and funneling on the internet and allowing it to be seen and viewed and allowing people to build an audience. And as it builds an audience, we'd like to see that progress.
Well, what do you think about the name, Rod?
Yes.
I'm sorry about that. Strike TV seems to conjure up a couple of images. One, a knockoff of Spike TV, which I'm not accusing you of. And secondly, you know, it reminds people of the strike. And are those good things?
I think it is a good thing because it reminds us where we came from. That strike was a hard decision for a lot of people. I can tell you, I was one of the beginnings. Like, I really didn't want to strike. You know, it was hard. It's hard to find work as is, and now we're gonna go on strike. You know, that was a big decision for everybody. But I come from a union family. My parents are teachers. I've suffered through strikes, but I think it's a good connotation. Some people may see it as a negative thing.
But also, the word strike has so many different meanings,
yes,
right?
It does.
And so if you look at the Strike TV logo, it's like a
lightning bolt.
So, you know, and it goes when it comes on. And that's how I see it.
Okay. It is. Yeah. It's strike while they're going to strike with this opportunity. Yes, it has the double entendre of the writer's strike to remind people. And this was definitely an outgrowth of writers who said, look, why are we striking? you know, Peter tells the story of sitting on the strike line and talking to all these great creators from Lost and other people. And they said, well, why are we here? And well, why don't we just take some shows and put it out here? And if we're fighting for these rights that we need residuals on the internet and the rest, why don't we define our own destiny by putting our own content out there and understanding what the revenue is so we understand what we want a piece of?
All right. Let me ask you this as we bring this interesting Strike TV conversation to a close. I feel like I'm in a Strike TV boardroom with the executives and people like that. What's your favorite Strike TV show, Rod?
Hold, please.
Is that the name of it, or are you asking me to hold on?
No, no, no.
Oh, that's the name of the show.
No, that's the name of the show. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. That is the name of the show. That is the name of the show.
That's
that
funny. Ellen, what's your favorite?
Well, what do you think?
Of course.
Dangerous Women.
Well, I was throwing a softball to you there. Dangerous Women. Rod, what's the most popular, if there's a way of knowing?
So far, the most popular has been House Poor by Lester Lewis with Mindy Kaling from The Office. That show has done very well. There's only one episode as a pilot there, so it's done well for me. There's shows like Faux Baby, which have done 6 episodes.
Now,
and really
Faux Baby, now you're on a black show, so Faux Baby can be F-O Baby. F-E-A-U-X Baby.
It would be the F-A-U-X Baby.
Okay.
And it plays
it
off
clear.
The whole
okay.
concept
you
of that.
You have to recognize where you are. I appreciate all of you coming in. It's been a great conversation. Good luck with Strike
TV. Thank you very much.
That was Terrence Coles. He is Vice President of Brand and Ad Sales at Strike TV. We also heard from Rod Email. He is currently developing a show called Black Guys Talking for the channel, and actress Ellen Sandweiss, who stars in Dangerous Women on Strike TV. They all joined us right here at our studios of NPR West.